WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on a Wednesday morning. And we got an app chat message from DSY who says, what year Trans Am are you looking for? Well, I want an F-body Trans Am, which is the 80s. So I think it was 81 to, I think it was 91 or 92 when they changed the body. But, you know, I'm looking for that, you know, the 80s style. And the last one that I had, the first one I had, I bought from my dad's friend. I forget if I paid $200 or $400 for it. Might have been $200. I think I paid $200 for it. And it had over 400,000 miles on it when I got it. He used it for a daily newspaper route. And when I got it, the transmission blew and I had to put a new transmission in like within weeks of getting it. But fine. So that cost me, I don't know, like $500. So altogether, $700 for this car. And I had it for a while until I smacked it into a tree. And then my second one I bought in New Bedford. It was advertised in the newspaper. The guy wanted $600 for it. And when I showed up, it was on a side street over near Buttonwood Park. When I showed up, he's like, I'll meet you there. It's at my ex-girlfriend's house. So I get there and he comes in a few minutes. He gets there a few minutes after me. And I'm kind of just looking at the car in the driveway. And the ex-girlfriend's mother just comes out and says, whatever he offers you, you take it. I want that car gone. And I looked at him and I said, 300? And he said, no, it's 600. I said, no, but I'm going to give you 300 and I'm going to drive this away right now. And through the circumstances, I ended up getting it for $300. And I had it for a couple of years and then eventually sold it when my son was little. The only thing I've never forgiven my ex-wife for, she told me I had to sell that car. But I made out on the deal. I got $385 for it when I sold it. So I didn't do anything to it the whole time I had it. Just drove it around illegally. Didn't have a registration. I'm sorry. Something in my throat. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Oh, Tim, that was a dirty trick. 300.
Hey, you know, take advantage of opportunities.
Oh, I know. But
as our favorite president would say, it's the art of the deal, right?
Yeah. Well, the other day I was at a yard sale and guy was selling an autographed Jonathan Winters album, pristine shape, beautiful. And he said, I said, how much you want for it? He said, $2. I said, well, I got three. So, hey, I heard you mention Mad Magazine as you were closing that hour out. It still exists. As a matter of fact, I got my copy just yesterday. It's about, what do you call it? Situation TV. What do you call it? Those real TV, Survivor and all that sort of stuff. What did they call them?
The reality shows?
Yeah, that is it.
But it's not what they're not producing new content, though. These are all like reruns of old content.
Oh, they are. There's more in there. Like for the last 5-10 years, they were like nothing but reprints. But in the last, I don't know, 6 months or more, maybe even a year, they've been introducing more in.
Oh, good.
There's like, up, I don't know if it's 30% of it today or, you know, my newest one, but it's getting up in there. But the real reason I called, Elon, you know, you're in an area, you were one of the 13 colonies, right, of 1776, right? And so we're coming on our 250th birthday, And I'm old enough to remember when it was 200 years. That was 1976. And all over the country, man, it was like the 4th of July were kick-ass. And they were, you know, libraries were doing seminars and speeches and all sorts of stuff. And so this year, you would expect there'd be a ton of that going on. Well, last Tuesday, a week ago, Elon cut the budget by 80%. America's birthday budget is cut by Elon Musk. Now, if you're in radio, you know promotions pay. You do a promotion for a thing, that pays for itself. And if America does a promotion for itself, its 250th anniversary, 250th birthday of fighting tyrants and kings, doesn't it pay to put together one? And Elon Musk says he's saving money. He's throwing away money.
Yeah, I mean, I you would think you'd want to have as much of that as you can. We just had the 250th of the Revolution. Lexington and Concord had their celebration. We had the recreation of Paul Revere's ride. You know, all done, I'm sure, through, you know, historic organizations that have probably spent years raising funds for that.
Sure. And but where does Elon Musk get off saying that we can't have our birthday? 80% is what they said. Axios, that's where I read about it. But just, I think Trump has got a, I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's Task Force 2025 is what his, it's not bicentennial, what's 250? But he's calling it Task Force 250, or, yeah, 2050, or 2025, and then just do Elon plus Task Force 2025, and you're going to find that he did the budget cut. And I've been saying for years Donald Trump is organized crime, and for him to put Elon Musk into managing America's money, Elon Musk he's a traitor. He got into the Treasury 6 weeks ago, on a Friday. So it was the middle of March I think it was the 13th or 14th. He got it. It was a Friday night, and he gets into the Treasury, and he's still in there, as far as we can tell. And he's trying to sucker America into giving him the contract for all of the Social Security internet system through his satellites. So he would make, he would give us a good price, you know, for letting us use our Social Security numbers in his satellite system. And then one of his little hacker boys apparently sent up the data into the satellite system a week or so ago, and they're trying to get them to retrack it or at least tell us where it went, and they're not doing it. So, you know, we're going to have to come up with our own kind of money, because these boys are going to try to force us to use crypto, so in, you know, 1776, each of the 13 colonies had their own patriotic money, revolutionary money. And so we're going to have to do that until we get this resolved with Elon.
Hopefully it doesn't get that far. But, you know, they got to save money for Trump's big military parade birthday party thing that he wants to have.
Well, so I heard that he wants $100 million for his birthday. Or is it only 97?
See, and I don't even celebrate my birthday. I don't even want to. I wouldn't even have cake if they didn't bring one in here for me. So that, what does that tell you? Really? All right. Well, yeah. You have a great day.
Yeah, take care.
All right.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. And yes, 250, the anniversary of the revolution. Just now because it got birthdays on my brain, I don't think birthdays are a big deal personally. Like I don't need to just celebrate my birthday, make a big deal out of it. I do like to go get the free things that you can get on your birthday. Like I'll take my free Red Robin burger every year, although I didn't go this year. It expires. But I don't understand why. And this could be a topic for a whole show one day. But your birthday is a day. One day. You don't get a birthday week. And you certainly don't get a birthday month. I don't know when this became a thing, but it seems like a millennial thing. Not to pick on millennials, but it seems like a millennial thing. That they now give themselves a birthday month. Oh my God, it's my birthday month. I can't wait to celebrate my birthday month. That's not a thing. You know, I can see having a birthday weekend if, like, you know, you want to get together with family one day, friends another day, or some group of friends one night and another group of friends another night. I'll give you a birthday weekend. But I'm not giving you a birthday week. There's no such thing as a birthday week. If you have to celebrate your birthday over the course of an entire week, you're way too self-important. And if you have to have an entire birthday month, I don't know. I just feel like that's too much. I don't get it. But we also live in a time when people just put up on their birthdays, it's my birthday, send me money, and people do. Although I am guilty, on my birthday every year, I put up a Facebook fundraiser for the Wareham Historical Society to help them raise money. But, like, that's been a passion project of mine for a long time, and I've done other things as fundraisers for them, so that's why I make them my birthday fundraiser. But that's more about increasing awareness for them. That's not about actually giving me something for my birthday. But that's a sidetrack. But I'll take your calls and thoughts on that. I'd love to hear somebody defend the need for a birthday month. So as I've been mentioning this morning, tomorrow night in the city council meeting, don't forget tonight is the Committee on Public Safety and Neighborhoods meeting at 7 p.m. in the council chambers, where Councilor Gomes, the chair of the committee, is asking for downtown stakeholders to come in and have their opinions heard. But tomorrow night is the full council meeting, and they're going to be once again taking up the issue of moving up, the preliminary election date in New Bedford. And as I laid out earlier, this is not just Manny DiBrito came up with this idea and Mayor Mitchell's backing it. This is something that has the backing of the Secretary of State's office, the Secretary of the Commonwealth's office. Michelle Tassinari, who is the first Deputy Secretary and Director of Legal Counsel of the Elections Division, has said that they are recommending that communities move up their preliminary election this year in order to have enough time for the vote-by-mail process. And as I said earlier, you don't have to agree with whether or not vote-by-mail is a good idea, but the fact is, right now, it's the law, and it's allowed, and it's legal, and as such, you have to accommodate that. You can't stand in the way and be obstructive of it because that could be considered voter interference. And this isn't just we want to have more time to collect more ballots. This is there's processes that have to get followed in what happens with getting those mail-in ballots in and then having a week for people to be able to contest the election results and file for a recount. And the timing is all laid out in the proposed election calendar and in this correspondence between Manny DiBrito and the Secretary of the State's office. There's also further explanation from Manny in a letter that he sent to the mayor included in this paperwork that you can get from the city council website on the agenda. But this is not some nefarious plan to get people, illegal immigrants voting or people in sober houses voting or anything like that. If they want to have those nefarious votes to happen, they'll just do it in the time, whatever time period they have. They don't need to extend it for that. This is designed for the people who need to utilize that or the people who just say, you know what, I can't be bothered to go down on election day and vote in a municipal election, but I'll take part if I can mail it in. And as I said in the last hour, if you are going to come on this radio station as a caller, as a host, as a city councilor or other elected official, if you're going to come on to this radio station and say, we don't need to give people the adequate amount of time for that mail-in vote. We want people to come down and vote in person on election day, and that's it. Or at least, you know, have early voting in controlled precincts. You can't come on the day after the election and lament the voter turnout. Because these mail-in ballots are supposed to be a way to help increase the voter participation. The idea of having to go down on one day and stand in line and vote is antiquated. And 2020 showed us that there's a better way. Now, is it without its flaws? Of course not. But they've found ways to make it safer and secure every election since. And I think the people who can't send in a mail-in ballot that want to, if this, I mean, I would think that they'd still try to get it done in the amount of time they have, but if they don't, do you think they're going to say, oh, well, I'll just go down on election day? Or do you think they're going to say, I'll just not vote. I don't have time. And keep in mind, the same people who are telling you, well, you know, mail-in voting leads to fraud. We should all show up the day of and vote the day of, and that's it. That's the only voting that should be happening. Well, they're the same people that when the vote doesn't go their way, they're going to then try to find something wrong with what happened with the in-person voting. Because they're just not going to be happy. There's nothing nefarious to this. There's no plot here. If they want to get people voting that shouldn't, they'll just send in mail-in ballots in the time period that they have, no matter what time that is. This is for the actual logistics of the election. I've got to take a break here. We'll be right back. And, of course, that is Tonic, or as they're called outside of New England, soda. It's time now to go into the newsroom and get an update on all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
RFK planning on banning more food dyes. Student loan debt payments are starting to come back again. And a verdict in the Doomsday Mom case.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Health and Human Services Director Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announcing the ban of a number of artificial food dyes.
And we're gonna get rid of the dyes, and then one by one, we're going to get rid of every ingredient and additive in school in food that we can legally get addressed.
8 petroleum-based synthetic dyes are on the list in a move cheered by food activists. Kennedy made the announcement yesterday. He's previously said that he wants all artificial dyes phased out within the next 2 years. A jury has returned a verdict in the murder conspiracy trial of Lori Vallow Daybell.
We, the jury, duly impaneled and sworn in the above-entitled action, do find the defendant, Lori Daybell, guilty.
The so-called Doomsday Mom conspired to kill her fourth husband in 2019 with the help of her brother. Vallow Daybell was already convicted in Idaho in 2023 of murdering her two young children and conspiring to murder her husband, Chad Daybell's first wife. Her friends told prosecutors she embraces fringe apocalyptic beliefs. Tesla says its first quarter financial numbers missed expectations, with automotive revenue dropping 20%. It fell to $14 billion from nearly $17.5 billion at the same time last year. The automaker and energy company says the total revenue dropped 9%. Tesla points to updating assembly lines at the vehicle factories for the new Model Y as a reason for the decline. Tesla stock has tumbled 41% this year. President Trump says he has no intention of firing Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell.
No, I have no intention of firing him. I would like to see him be a little more active in terms of his idea to lower interest rates. This is a perfect time to lower interest rates.
Over the last week, Trump implied he could fire Powell if he wanted to, calling him, quote, a major loser and saying he's not happy with him. While speaking to reporters in the White House, Trump said he never actually was going to fire him, but he'd like to see him take more steps to lower interest rates. Powell, a fellow Republican whose term ends in 2026, has previously said he would not step down if Trump asked him to, and that it's not permitted under the law for a president to fire or demote him. Gold prices continued their rally yesterday, touching a new record high after President Trump came out swinging against the chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Gold prices continued to rise after President Trump called for an immediate reduction in interest rates, and he criticized the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell's stance to keep rates unchanged. This is something that has impacted investors' appetite for risk, driving money towards gold, which is considered to be a safe haven asset. President Trump's tariff policy and concerns about the impact that this could have on the global economy have been fueling gold's rally in recent weeks. Rebecca Bundin, Mumbai.
WBSM Sports.
It was the Red Sox over the Mariners, 8-3. Those two back together tonight at 6:45. Celtics game two with the Magic at the Garden at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Clouds around, but temperatures pretty mild, largely in the upper 40s and low 50s. But speaking of mild, we are keeping up with the trend as we move into this Wednesday afternoon. Those stubborn clouds finally leave us, and we get plenty of sunshine here across the South Coast. Temperatures remaining relatively mild as well. Most of us between about 62 and 68 degrees, depending on where you live. Especially as we get a little further inland, you're going to see those temperatures go up with the sunshine this afternoon. Enjoy. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop. New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
That you never call home. Where they turned out your lights, though they say you'll never know. I remember running through the wet grass, falling a step behind. Both of us never tiring, desperately wanting. Out your guts, filled you full of those pills. You would never cry out, deserving all the chills.
And welcome back in. A little better than Ezra. One of my favorite Norm MacDonald jokes on Weekend Update. Well, I still laugh every time I see a clip of it where he says, topping the alternative rock charts this week was the new band Better Than Ezra, coming in at number two, Ezra. It just still makes me laugh. Norm was my favorite comedian of all time. Those who know me know how much I love Gilbert Gottfried. And got the pictures of him hanging up on my office wall. But Norm was probably my favorite comedian of all time. If you've never seen him tell the moth joke on Conan, do yourself a favor. Google it. Look it up. I can't tell you the joke because it's like a 20-minute joke. That and the clip of when he was on Conan and Courtney Thorne Smith was on promoting her movie Chairman of the Board with Carrot Top. That one, you see a lot of that cycling around on social media. But it just shows his quick wit and his sarcastic sense of humor. But one of the greatest comedians ever, and my absolute favorite, Norm MacDonald, who died from cancer after not telling anybody he had cancer. He was battling it for something like 8 years and nobody knew. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I know, so Acushnet had their election yesterday, and there were no contested races. That's why we haven't really been talking about the results of it. I'm sure Chris might talk a little bit about it, but there were no contested races in terms of the offices, so everybody that ran won. But they did have the debt exclusion question. That was going to help fund an HVAC system at the Acushnet Elementary School. That was voted down overwhelmingly. Let's see if I get the final numbers still up. I can give you that. No was 754 votes. Yes was 229 votes. So, like a 3-1 margin. So for those following along with that, that's how that shook out. And of course, there's also the big news that Mike Roberts has been telling you about. The city councilor who stepped down in Fall River. Now there's a seat open. Laura Sampson handing in her resignation. And it has to do with, as she called it, bad journalism. But it's actually, it relates to a Fall River Reporter article written by Mike Sylvia, who is the, I guess, the owner of the company. New Bedford Guide, Fall River Reporter. And I was looking at the article. I'm trying to determine if I would call it, I'd call it an opinion column. I'd call it a column more than I'd call it reporting, but he does bring up the connections that she has to police and that she should recuse herself from the vote for the Fall River police chief. As you know, the council originally denied giving Kelly Furtado the full-time position. She's the interim chief. They had concerns about the process, and they wanted Paul Coogan, the mayor, to open it up to a wider search before making a decision. And he just resubmitted her instead and said, this is who I want. And so they had to vote on that again, and once again voted that down. So you think things get weird in New Bedford, Fall River can always one-up that. And now they have a city councilor who has resigned, stepped down. And I have not read Mike Sylvia's column in depth, but just taking a look at it, I see the conflict of interest. Her brother is the head of the police union. I would recuse myself if that was me. And that's just one of the connections that he writes about. So, but I'm sure Chris will be talking more about that coming up. It's also Wednesday, so he'll have Mary Mitchell in here. They can talk more about this need to extend the, or move up the preliminary election in New Bedford, which will again be on the table for the city council this Thursday. And as being recommended by the Secretary of State's office that New Bedford does this. And they're actually saying you can move it up to September 9th. Whereas, you know, the election Board of Election Commissioners and Chair of the Board, Manny DiBritto, is just looking for September 16th. And it is all laid out. If you want to read the correspondence back and forth, you can go to the, so you just basically go to the New Bedford, City of New Bedford website, click on the City Council page. They have the meetings and minutes, and you just click on the meetings. You go to the City Council meeting for tomorrow, you click on the agenda, and what it does is it opens up the entire agenda, and then any relevant motions, any relevant letters, paperwork, that's always hyperlinked with each motion. And you can click on the hyperlink and it opens up the letter from the mayor to the council requesting that they consider this. You can read the email from Manny DiBritto to Mayor Mitchell explaining why they need to reconsider it again. The correspondence between the Secretary of State's office and Manny DiBritto. It's all right there. It's pretty obvious why this needs to get done, and anything else, any opposition to it, just feels like fear-mongering, and it just feels hollow. Again, if they wanted to somehow, you know, rig the mail-in ballots, they're going to do that in whatever amount of time you give them. Doesn't matter if they have an extra week or two. This is about being fair in getting the mail-in ballots out for those who need them and getting them back, and being fair to the process. As the Secretary of State's office said, this is when we need to have it done by, so that we can print those ballots. Now, again, it's all a moot point if nobody runs against these counselors, but do you think that that's going to be the case? Do you think this is going to be an election where nobody steps forward and says, I'm going to run in this ward, or I'm going to run for council at large? I think you're going to find that there will be people, and there may be enough people that we need that preliminary election. You know, if my math is correct, and I think it is, you only need one person to run for an at-large seat to need to have a preliminary election. And I'm sure that there's somebody out there that's thinking, now is the time to run because maybe Councillor Morad is vulnerable because of some of the unpopular decisions she's made. Maybe somebody wants to run in Ward 2. Multiple people might want to run in Ward 2 that would require a preliminary election because maybe they feel that Councillor Giesta is vulnerable considering the way that she's been talked about on the radio. Maybe they feel that some of the back and forth between Council President Burgo and some of the other councillors in the lead up to the city council presidency, maybe they feel like that opens up some possibilities on either side. Or maybe there's just some people who want to eventually be considered serious contenders that just want to get their name out there and give it a go this first time out. It just takes a couple of folks wanting to run to need that preliminary election. And then you need to have this process play out in a properly timed fashion. 508-996-0500. It's a nice day out there. Sun is shining. It's 51 degrees already. It's going to get a little bit warmer. Sun is shining brightly. You don't have to turn the heat on. But you know what? Soon enough, you're going to have to turn the air conditioning on. And that means that those home heating bills that you were paying all winter long now become your home electric bills. Maybe you were heating with electric, but still, now you've got these high electric bills on the horizon. What are you going to do about it? Well, one way you can do it is you can mitigate that by going solar. Make the investment in solar power, and eventually the electric company could be paying you for the power you're generating as you're creating more energy than you actually need to consume. How does it all work? Reach out to Isaacson Solar to find out more. Isaacsen, isaacsonsolar.com. They will set up an appointment to come out and speak to you and go over it all with you so that you can make an informed decision about going solar instead of just trying to wing it with what you've read on the internet. isaacsonsolar.com. Sign up, have them come out, talk to you, and have a simple, honest, and direct conversation about going solar. All right, I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Or maybe I'm not able, and I break at the bend. Here
and
now.
And welcome back in. A little Shimmer by Fuel. And 508-996-0500. We've still got time for you to call in and chime in. You can also send app chat messages on the WBSM app. But then we'll give way to Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. Tomorrow, a reminder, we'll be joined by someone from Six Flags New England who's going to be joining us to talk about their brand new roller coaster, the Quantum Accelerator. And I was watching some of the renderings of this. So it goes 59 feet high, which is high, but not as high as some other roller coasters. It might make it a little bit more palatable for some of you who don't like the heights. But tomorrow we'll be joined by Sydney Snow, who is the regional manager of public relations for Six Flags New England, to talk about this new roller coaster and what else we can expect from Six Flags this year. But this is a very unique roller coaster. It's the only one in New England that's this style of ride. And we'll find out more about that tomorrow. And I'll have a story up with videos and photos so that you can see what it's going to be like for yourself. As you know, also, April is Autism Acceptance Month. And as reported by WCVB, the MBTA is also taking part in this with the Autism Transit Project. It's the first time that they've done this. As part of the project, local children and young adults with autism will record 37 different public service announcements that will play over the train's speakers all month long. So it'll include tips on how to safely board trains and how to remember to be kind while riding the T. And then they're going to hold a reception later in the week to thank everyone who participated in the program. According to the T, the goal of the announcements is to raise awareness about autism and provide a platform for children to showcase their talents and make a positive impact on public transportation. And the WCVB has the story of one particular girl who practiced her announcement over and over again to make sure that she got it perfect. And then got the chance to ride the train and hear her announcement, which is really cool. I mean, I don't really love hearing my voice on things, but it's still pretty cool when you do hear it for the first time when you've done something. And so keep that in mind when you are riding the train, if you are going to ride the train and you hear those announcements. You know, try to just listen in and see what a good job these kids did. Now, I don't know if those announcements are going to play on the buses that they're probably going to be bringing you home in. But we'll see. I want to see if we can get someone from Keolis or someone from the MBTA to come on and talk with us a little bit more in depth about some of those issues. But it's hard. It's hard to get them to come on. They're busy people, I guess. But I'll keep trying, and we'll keep trying to get some answers to some of those issues. Is it a matter of they just didn't have enough people at launch? Or is it a matter of something's going on behind the scenes where the MBTA workers aren't happy with the addition of the South Coast Rail Service? As reported by New Bedford Light, it only takes two people to run the train, the engineer and the conductor. And they can't get two people. So we'll see if we can find out what's going on with that, and hopefully we can get them to come on and be accountable for that. But I guess free weekends through May. So great. You can go ride the train for free and maybe have to come home on a bus. All right, I've got to take one final break, and we'll be back to wrap things up.
Just took my son to a domain. You can't run it over again.
All right, that's going to do it for me for today. Stay tuned for Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now. I'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk roller coasters with Six Flags New England, although, you know, we're going to talk about lots of other things as well. And then fun